If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. And I want to read verses 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, verse 13. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Before I get started, I was thinking of something this morning, and I wrote it down, so I'll use this in the place of an introduction. Just a thought to come into my head. Jesus Christ is acceptable to God and accepted by God. Believers are not acceptable, but we are accepted in the beloved. I like that. I just kind of popped into my head. He is acceptable, perfect, righteous, holy, and we're in him. And that's the only way we are accepted. Anyhow, verse 13 of Isaiah 41. For I, the Lord God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. The Lord, thy God. Was it Yahweh, thy Elohim, Jehovah. And here it says, he holds thy right hand. He holds the hand of his people. And he helps his people. The first thing that struck me when I looked at this is, you understand, I want you to understand this, I want everybody to understand this. You don't hold his hand, he holds yours. Now, we are told to cling to Christ. But if he don't hold your right hand, you can't cling to Christ. You can't cling to God. How is it meant here? Well, I'm going to look back for just a second at verse 10 of Isaiah 41. Here it is again. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's what it means. I will hold thy hand. I will hold thy right hand. He's going to uphold his people. Because we are the ones without strength. You can't hold on to anything long enough for anything. We are the ones who cannot stand on our own. That's verse 10. He's got to uphold us with the right hand of my righteousness, or we won't be upheld. But he promises. He says, the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand. God's people are held by him. What did Christ tell us about this? Well, John 10, verse 29, you don't have to turn there. He says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I will hold you by the right hand. I like that, I do. I can't help it, I like that. And he also says this, unto thee, the Lord say unto thee, fear not. Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not. You understand why the Lord tells us not to fear, right? Because we do. That's why. Matter of fact, he says it in verse 10, he says it in verse 13, and he says it in verse 14. Fear not. Matter of fact, somebody put verse 10 into a song. Be not afraid, I am with thee, be not dismayed. For I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I love that song. I do. It's a good song. And that's where it came from. Fear not, I will help thee. We are naturally fearful. Now, some people to one degree or another, more than others. Some about one thing and some about another. But here's the thing. Pretty much, we all fear death. And if you really want to look at it the right way, we all fear life. We're fearful of what can happen to us in this life. We even are fearful about what can happen to people we care about. It's a natural state for us to fear. There's a reason for that. We have no control. And naturally, after a fashion, all men know this. They may not admit it. They certainly don't like it. But we do naturally fear. We fear death. We fear life. We fear decisions. In two different ways. I fear having to make decisions. And I also fear other people making decisions that I got nothing to say about. This is our natural state of affairs. But God says to you, fear not. And God can say to you, fear not. Because he does have control. He is in control, whether we know it or not. But if you do know it, fear not. Be not afraid. Why? I will help. I will help thee. We need help. And specifically, we need the Lord's help. Now, if you look at the next verse, he almost repeats the same thing with a couple of additions. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Fear not. He repeats it. You know why? Because we need it to be repeated. We need to be reminded not to fear. We need to be reminded. It needs to be put in our heads not to fear, to trust in God and be not afraid. That's not the natural state of man. Lest we forget everything. And by this I mean everything is in God's hands. Everything is in his hands. What did Job say? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But he didn't stop there. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Fear not. The Lord has purposed. Fear not. The Lord has planned. Fear not, the Lord has promised, I will help thee. Fear not, the Lord Jesus Christ has provided. Fear not, the Lord shall bless you and keep you. But then he says this, fear not. Thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel. But what I want to point out here, and this is my title, Paul, a worm redeemed by God. A worm redeemed by God. Thou worm, Jacob. Now, we've talked about this before. I've said it before. Walter said it before. I think Paul said it before. That word worm, when you look at the Hebrew word, the word is maggot. specifically, according to what it says, a crimson maggot, a red maggot, crawling. It's not exactly the most glowing description of a man. But I don't know of anyone more accurate, if you actually know what we are. Because if you read the scriptures, I can tell you this, man is never described in glowing terms. Never. Because this is what we are naturally. Worms. Worms. God is up here, and we're in the dirt. And that's exactly what it means. We're in the dirt. We are unworthy. Here's the thing. We are unworthy of God's noticing us. Other places it says what? We are less than the small dust of the balance. There's a balance where you weigh things and you say, oh, I want a pound of ham. Who knows? Whatever. Generally, I don't suppose the Jews ask for that. Maybe they ask for a pound of cheese. But it's okay. When that balance is empty, it's supposed to be perfectly level. But there may be just a little crumbs on it or dust or something like that. And you know what? That doesn't tip the balance one way or another. That's us. We are not worthy of notice. We are worms. What did Christ and his apostles tell us? Was it? Christ died for those without strength. When we were without strength, Christ died, wait a minute, for the ungodly. The ungodly. Christ came to save sinners. What did he say himself? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So there we are, ungodly, sinners, and lost. That's what we are. Without strength, worms. Thou worm, Jacob. And understand, Jacob was just as elect as we were. Jacob was chosen before the foundation of the world. And yet here's he described, thou worm, Jacob. His very name means usurper. Another thing, Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he said himself. Now, I understand a lot of people, they want to put a little emphasis, and rightly so, on the fact that he came to save. But they never really want to talk about that first word. Understand? Christ came to seek and to save. You want to know why I want to emphasize this? Because I'll tell you this right now. If he doesn't seek you, you will not be saved. Right. What's the illustration he gave us? That a man having lost one sheep goes out. Now that sheep already belonged to that man. But that man went out and he sought that sheep and he sought until he found it. Then he picked it up and put it on his shoulders and carried it back home and there was much rejoicing. If there's no seeking, there's no saving.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeking the lost. Christ is seeking the lost. I preach. That's all I can do. And I preach the word and I try to preach Christ. That's all I can do. He has to seek out and save his lost sheep. And he's promised to do it. He came to seek and to save. Thou worm Jacob and ye men of Israel. Here's the thing. Christ died for those without strength. Christ died for the ungodly. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to save sinners. Now the question is, do you fit that description? Because here's the thing. You cannot claim the promise without claiming the description. Are you a sinner? Are you ungodly? Do you have in you still unbelief? Unbelief. Can you take your place here as a worm before God? Yes, I am a worm. Yes, I am an ungodly sinner. Thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel. Here's the thing. I pointed this out a while back, and I'm going to do it again. The message of the Lord to the worm Jacob is the exact same message to ye men of Israel. Isn't that something? The message to the usurper is the same message to the prince with God. There's only one gospel. There's only one message. Oh, I like that, I do. Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, this is the message to the worm and to Israel. Jacob and Israel are both held by God's right hand. By God's right hand of righteousness. Isaiah 43 and verse 1. Just a page over there. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. What's he say? Fear not. Fear not. Why? For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. And this is the good part, boys. Thou art mine. Thou art mine. Oh, I like that. I like that. He created Jacob and he formed Israel. He created Jacob and he called him a worm. And the word created means made. Just means to make, right? But the word formed means to actually have formed Israel. And it actually has a reference like a potter molds the clay. What? He makes one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor. And the power is in the hands of the potter, not in the clay. The message of the Lord, the word of the Lord to Jacob and Israel is exactly the same. Fear not, and I will help thee, saith the Lord. I like that. They're both held by the right hand. And he says, I will help thee. This is another repetition. What? Verse 10, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Fear not, fear thou not. Verse 13, I will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And then verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob and ye men of Israel, I will help thee. I will help thee. It's another repetition. You want to know why? Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell on myself, and I'm going to tell on you, because I assume, actually, I pretty much believe y'all the same way. Things are going pretty good. You start to feel pretty good about yourself. And you start thinking, I might have a handle on this. I don't have a handle on anything. The only reason things are going good is because God has it going good. I need his help every day. I need to remember that too. I need to remember not to fear, but I need to remember I need his help. And I want his help every day. Because we'll forget this too. Without the Lord's help, I can't stand. Without the Lord's help, we fear. We fear. Without the Lord's help, we can't walk. We stumble. And without the Lord's help, we boast. We will. Christ said it. Without the Lord's help. Actually, what he said was, without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. And by that, he meant, without him, you can do nothing. That's exactly what he meant. Fear not, I will help thee. Because here's the thing. The Lord will help his worms. His worms. I will help thee, saith the Lord. What? And thy Redeemer. Now they're the same person. But I like how he says this. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about the Redeemer. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that helps. He's the one that tells us to fear not. He's the one that holds us, upholds us by the right hand of his righteousness. I am thy Redeemer. The Lord is thy Redeemer. You want to hear some good news? There is redemption for worms. There is redemption for sinners. There is redemption for the ungodly. There is redemption for those whom Christ came to seek and to save. There is redemption for those without strength. And who is the Redeemer? The Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Holy One of Israel. Redemption is in Christ Jesus. The Lord Christ Jesus. What is it? We believers, worms, are accepted in the Beloved. That's Ephesians 1 and 6. Ephesians 1 and 7 says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. According to the riches of his grace. I like that. Hebrews 9 and 12 says this, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. The real holy place. Not the tabernacle, the real one. Excuse me, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The Old Testament tells of plenteous redemption, and I like that word. The New Testament tells us of eternal redemption. And you know what? I want to tell you, it's the same redemption. There's only one redemption. In its past, Jesus Christ has obtained eternal redemption. Past tense. It's the same redemption of Christ Jesus. He has redeemed us to God with his blood. I like that. Jesus Christ has redeemed us. Worms. Worms. Unclean, ungodly sinners have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And here's the thing. He has made us, what? Kings and priests unto God. Unto God. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I was told one day, this is my dad that told me. He looked at me one day We were just coming out of the house. We had been talking about something, and I don't even remember what I said, Walter. But he looked at me, and he said, "Well, that's where they got you." And I looked at him and said, "What do you say?" And he said, "You believe that stuff in the Bible." What could I do? I agreed. I said, "You're right. That's where they got me, Dad. I believe the scriptures. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And I'll put it in that order in particular. Because if he's not the Lord, you don't know he's the Lord, he's not your Savior. Because only the Lord can save. That's what Isaiah is saying here. I will help thee. You know why? Because without me, you're dead. Jacob, stay a worm. I do. I believe, here's the thing, I believe that his redemption is actually eternal. And plenteous. There's more redemption there than I need. There's more redemption there than I ever really will know about. How can God take a worm and make it acceptable in his sight? Now, I do know this. It's only in Christ. But I still feel like I'm a worm now. I still feel ungodly. I still have within me an evil heart of unbelief. And yet, the scriptures tell me that I am accepted in him. Ah, that's a miracle. That's grace. You understand? I don't need a redeemer who only partially redeems. Because I will be dead. And you would be too. If any of our salvation, if anything having to do with redemption, depends upon me or depends upon you, we're lost. We're lost. I need plenteous redemption. I need eternal redemption. I need everlasting life. I need to be kept by the power of God. Through faith, what? The faith he has authored and finished and given. I need the Lord to hold my right hand. You know, I need him to uphold me by the right hand of his, and I like, of his righteousness. His righteousness. Just the fact, this is the thing most people don't understand. Just the fact that the right hand of his righteousness can touch me. Can touch you. That takes the grace of God right there. Thou worm, Jacob. Oh, I need and want the Lord Jesus Christ to help me. The Lord and my Redeemer. The Holy One of Israel. Uphold me with the right hand of his righteousness. Isaac Watts wrote a song. I got a couple of verses I scribbled down here that I really liked. Awake my heart, arise my tongue, prepare a tuneful voice. In God the life of all my joys, aloud will I rejoice. 'Tis he adorned my naked soul and made salvation mine. Upon a poor, polluted worm, what? He makes his graces shine. I like that. I like that. Upon a poor, polluted worm, he makes his graces shine. What's he do? He raises the poor out of the dust, the dirt. And he lifts the beggar off of the dunghill. It's another description of man. We're poor and in the dust, and we're a beggar on a dunghill. And if you don't know you're a beggar on a dunghill, why would you want to come off of it? You don't know you're there. But he raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifts the beggar from the dunghill. And here's the glorious thing. Two. For the express purpose of two. What? Set them among princes. He makes his graces shine. I like that too. You know why? Because that's good news. That's good news. A worm redeemed by God. And he's going to set us among princes. Isn't that glorious? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful. Thankful, Lord, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is seeking and saving the lost, who is calling his people by name and they follow him, who is raising up beggars out of the dust, off of the dunghill, and raising the poor out of the dirt and the dust, digging us out of a miry, clay-filled pit, and setting us among princes. We don't deserve it. We weren't looking for it. We weren't seeking you. You sought us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.